That song, just the choir sang, is just a reminder of what we've got to look forward to next Sunday night. So we're excited about that. Luke chapter 8, and we want to read tonight beginning at verse 16. Luke chapter 8 and verse 16, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the great blessing that it is to gather around your word and gather with your people, to be blessed by the singing and the prayers, and to be able to spend a few moments looking into your word. We pray that these times may be very precious to us, because they're getting fewer and fewer. We're running out of them, either through our own passing from this world or by your coming. And so we pray that we would treasure these moments that we have to meet with you and to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be convicted, to be empowered by your Spirit to go out into the world tomorrow morning and live a life for you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're moving on in our studies tonight in Luke chapter 8, but while we are moving on from the parable of the sower, the verses that we have just read are not unrelated to that parable. The Lord Jesus began speaking in verse 5 as he told the parable of the sower. And with the exception of a question from the disciples in verse 9, the Lord speaks all the way through verse 18. And so the words that he speaks in verses 16 through 18 are, I believe, a continuation of what he just said in the parable of the sower. He's continuing his sermon. And again, I guess the title of these messages, or the thoughts of these messages, is the foolishness of preaching, the importance of preaching in the mind of God. And that's what the Lord Jesus is doing. He's continuing his preaching. He's talking about, in the verses that we've read tonight, he's talking about light. Notice verse 16 again. "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." In verse 16, the candle has been placed on a candlestick, and it's shining, that they which enter in may see the light. Light dispels darkness. Light not only dispels darkness, but light exposes. And that's just what the Lord Jesus has done in the parable of the sower. That's part of the connection back to the parable of the sower. He's just exposed in that parable four kinds of hearts. In verse 5, he shined the light of his words into the wayside heart and exposed and told us about a heart that was hard, a heart where the ground was trodden down, ground that had been trodden underfoot. In verse 6, the light of his words exposed the stony ground heart, the heart that has no depth of earth, the heart that lacks moisture, the heart that has an immediate, emotional, shallow, sort of superficial response to the message of the Word of God, and therefore it has no root. In verse 7, the light of his words exposed the thorny ground heart, the heart that's occupied with the things of this world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the heart that is occupied with the lust of other things, like the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, the heart that's occupied with the pleasures of life, the pleasures of sin for a season. And then in verse 8, the Lord's words expose the good ground heart, the heart that is tender toward the things of God, the heart that's been broken up and watered by the Word of God, the heart where the rock has been broken in pieces by the hammer of the Word of God, the heart that ceased from its own works, the heart that has seen the crown of thorns that you and I deserve to wear being worn by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happens when the light of the Word, the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, is placed on a candlestick. Men see the light, and they have their hearts exposed. In this 16th verse, we can see something, I believe, of the church age in which we're living. In Revelation chapter 1, in verses 12 through 20, we read about seven candlesticks. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, the Lord tells us that the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. And so one of the things that a candlestick pictures to us is the church. And here in this church age, God has chosen the candlestick of the local church. And He's placed in that candlestick the lighted candle of the glorious gospel of Christ. And that's what the local church is to shine forth. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ to a dark and sinful world. I think it's worth noting here that both the word candle and candlestick are singular. This candlestick is designed to hold one candle. And I think that's a reminder that there is only one true light, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one true light of the world, and it's Him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This singular candle and this candlestick designed to hold that one candle is a reminder that there's only one gospel light, one message of salvation, and that is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That the Lord Jesus suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. But a candlestick is not only a type of the church, it speaks to us of individual believers. In Revelation chapter 11, we read about the two witnesses that are going to come in the tribulation period, and they're going to be prophesying here on earth for 3.5 years. And in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 11, one of the things that these two witnesses are referred to as is candlesticks. Candlesticks. If we know the Lord tonight, then we are a candlestick. And in John chapter 8 and verse 12, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." If we're saved tonight, we're a candlestick. And God has placed a lighted candle in us. And the lighted candle that He has placed in our candlestick is the light of life. His very self. Because He's the light of the world. Now look back just a few pages, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we want to read something there. John chapter 8 and verse 12, the Lord Jesus said that He is the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, the Lord Jesus said this, "Ye are the light of the world." A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. John chapter 8 verse 12, the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Here he says to those who are saved, ye are the light of the world. That language is a reminder of something that I think is very, not only very important, but it's very encouraging to think about. I am the light of the world, the Lord Jesus said. Ye are the light of the world. That language is a reminder that we are laborers together with God. What a privilege that is. It's a reminder that as he is, so are we in this world. Ye are the light of the world. And then here in Matthew chapter 5, he uses the same language that we read in Luke chapter 8 to apply to individual believers. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Verse 16 says that we are to let our light shine before men. The question that comes to mind is, how are we going to do that? What is the mechanism? What needs to happen so that the light from our lighted candle on our candlestick is not hidden? What needs to happen so that it shines forth in such a way that it brings praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? We want to look back at a passage of Scripture that I think shows us how our lighted candle and our candlestick can shine forth and give light unto all that are in the house, to give light to all those who are around us. Turn back, if you will, to the book of Judges for just a minute. The book of Judges. And we want to look at Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7 is a chapter that is familiar to us, because in it we read about how God used Gideon to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. You remember that Gideon begins this chapter, he begins going to battle with the Midianites. He begins with an army of 32,000 men. And God says to him that the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. That's an example of how God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Our thought is that we need the more men, the better. We want to look around and see the 32,000 men. And if we could have 42,000 men, we'd love to have them. That's not how God thinks. God says, you've got too many people with you for me to give the Midianites into your hands. And the reason the Lord said that is because he knew Israel. And he knew that if that army of 32,000 men won the victory, then they would glorify themselves and they would exalt themselves. They would vaunt themselves, as we see it here. And they would claim that their own hand had saved them. And so God tells Gideon to go and announce to the people, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and go back. I doubt if our armies do that very much today when they're going into battle. But the Lord says, you just tell these people, look, if you're fearful, if you're afraid, then you can go home. And after that announcement, Gideon had 10,000 men. 22,000 men left. 22,000 were fearful and afraid. And so Gideon's down to 10,000. And then Gideon probably is thinking, okay, we're ready to go now. And the Lord says, no, you're not ready to go. You've still got too many. And he tells Gideon to bring them down to the water, and I'll try them for thee there. And the trial was this. God told Gideon that everyone that lapped water with his tongue like a dog, he was to set them aside. And then everyone that bowed down upon his knee to drink, he was to put them in another group. And so in Judges chapter 7 and verse 6, we learn that the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And so Gideon has 300. Just 300. Started out with 32,000, now he's down to 300. And the Lord says unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Now look at verse 16. And he, that is Gideon, divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Gideon divided the men into three companies. Every man in each of those companies had a trumpet and an empty pitcher, and inside the pitcher he had a lamp. And we want to particularly note that these pitchers were empty, except for the lamp. It's all they had in them. Now look at verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers. And when they broke the pitchers, when they broke those empty pitchers, the light of their lamps was released. The light of their lamps shone forth and lit up the darkness there in the dead of night. Now I want you to turn over from here to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read beginning at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now notice verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There is our lamp. There is our lighted candle in its candlestick. The light of the world, the light of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. But we have this treasure. What treasure? Our candlestick and our candle. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the world. The light of life. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels are vessels of clay. That's what Gideon and his 300 men had. Earthen vessels. Vessels of clay. Vessels of clay is what we are. Job said to the Lord in Job chapter 10 and verse 9, "Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay." You and I are pitchers. We're earthen vessels. And if we're saved inside of these pitchers, inside of these vessels of clay, inside of these earthen vessels, we have this treasure, this lamp, this lighted candle, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the light of life. And it might be good for us to remember here a little detail from Judges chapter 7. There in that darkness, there in that midnight hour, Gideon did not just have any pitcher. He didn't just have any kind of earthen vessel. The vessels that he and his army had in the dark of that night were empty except for the lamp. Empty. If we're saved this evening, we need to think about a question. If we're saved, we're this earthen vessel, and there's a lamp in it. There's a candle on a candlestick. There's the light of the glory of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But the question is, what else is in our earthen vessel beside our lamp? What else is there beside our lighted candle on its candlestick? Are there stones and impediments? We talked about those things last week. Stones and impediments like riches and the desire for riches. Are there stones and impediments in our earthen vessel like the crowd and the group and the friends that we want to run with and have and be accepted by? Maybe in our earthen vessel we have the stone and impediment of the fear of being mocked and made fun of if we let our light shine among men. Or maybe what's in our earthen vessel today are the thorns of the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of sin for a season. What is in our earthen vessel that is keeping it from being empty? God is looking for empty vessels. Empty vessels like the Lord Jesus Christ was empty. We read about how he was empty in Philippians chapter 2. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." That's how earthen vessels get empty of everything except the lamp, of everything except the lighted candle on our candlestick. That's how earthen vessels get empty of everything except the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the light of life. Earthen vessels get empty by allowing this mind to be in them which was also in Christ Jesus. Earthen vessels get empty by making themselves of no reputation, by taking upon them the form of a servant, by humbling themselves and becoming obedient unto death, even death to self, like we were talking about this morning. And then those earthen vessels are ready to be broken. Only earthen vessels that are empty are ready to be broken. Only empty vessels are ready to have their will broken. Only empty vessels are ready to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." Only empty vessels are willing to say to the Lord every day, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Are we an empty vessel tonight? an empty earthen vessel that's ready to be broken. And that's so needful here in the dark days of these last days. It's so necessary for the people of God to be vessels that are broken, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not of us. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8, if you will. Luke chapter 8. Let's read again verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. In verse 16, we can see something of the church age in which we're living. We're living in an hour when men can still see the light. What a blessing that is. We're living in an hour when the light of the world and the light of the Word are still exposing the four kinds of hearts that we find in the parable of the sower. There's that connection back, I believe, to that parable. But in verse 17, things change. Things change. In verse 16, we can see the light. In verse 17, the light is going to see us one day. In verse 17, the light is going to manifest one day. In verse 17, the light is going to expose one day. In judgment. Look at it again. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. In Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Think about that. The day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes about the judgment seat of Christ. And he says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. The day is the time of light. It's the time when the sun shines and gives light. In the day of judgment, the issue in the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to make every man's work manifest. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The judgment seat of Christ, the light of the fire of God's judgment is going to try and reveal and manifest and uncover and make known and burn that which is wood and hay and stubble. In verse 16, we can see the light. We're still living in that day. In verse 17, the light is going to see and expose us one day. And in view of that, in verse 18, the Lord Jesus says, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. How are we hearing the Word of God? How are we hearing it? Do we hear it and take it seriously? I'm not talking to you. I'm not asking you these questions. I'm asking myself these questions. Do we take it? Do I take it with a light and casual spirit? Do I take it as applying to me personally and individually? Or do I think about the people around me and say, boy, they sure do need to hear this. They sure do need to think about that. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. These meetings are so critical. Every one of them. When we come together and we gather around the Word of God. Take heed how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. 1 Corinthians 3:14 says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. 1 Corinthians 3:15, Paul says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. These are serious verses that ought to cause us to stop and examine ourselves. They're verses that in the light of the account that every believer is going to give ought to cause us to examine what else is in our earthen vessel. These are verses that ought to cause us from the depths of our soul to have a desire to empty ourselves and be broken. So that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ might shine forth from our lives. We're living in dark days, and we're the light of the world. We're the light of the world. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, the secrets of your heart are going to be revealed one day. Your works are going to be made manifest, not at the judgment seat of Christ, but at the great white throne judgment. The books are going to be opened, and you're going to be judged according to your works. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Tonight, while you can still see the light, while the light of the glorious gospel of Christ is still shining, come to the light. Stand in the light. Let the light expose what you are. A wicked, rebellious, hell-deserving sinner. And let the light show you who He is, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who took your wickedness and your sin and your rebellion upon himself on the cross of Calvary and gave his life and shed his blood that you might have eternal life. Right where you are, you can empty your earthen vessel of your way and your will and your own works, and you can fall on the stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be broken over your sin. A broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. And you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, and He will save you, and He will give you the light of life. And you'll never walk in darkness. What a Savior we have. What a blessing it is to know Him. And what a blessing it is to serve Him. May the Lord help us to be those servants who are empty vessels, broken, so that the light of the message of the glorious gospel of Christ can shine forth from our life. Father, we thank you for these verses from your word here in Luke chapter 8. And we pray tonight that we would be those who would look around in this vessel of clay and see what impediments there are. What are the things that are there that keep us from being an empty vessel that can be broken to shine forth the light of the gospel of Christ. We're the light of the world. That's what you tell us. What an amazing thing that is. We pray that you would help us to consider these things tonight. And we do pray that if there are any here who are lost, that while it is still called today, while they can still see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, while the Spirit of God is shining it into their hearts and showing them the ground of their heart, we pray that tonight they would surrender their hearts to you and trust you as their Savior. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.